Amen.
How many of us have seen that the video that was sent of Burundi is to the glory of God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord kept on ministering to me. There's one thing that frightens the devil. He doesn't like crowd. That is why from the beginning, in the book of Genesis, when God, after blessing man, after creating man out of the dust, he said, be fruitful and multiply. First, I want to acknowledge the grace of God in this house. I want to thank God for Pastor Michael Obi and his wife. I always want to acknowledge that. Thank you so much. When God created man, brought him out and he blessed him and said him, and he brought his blessing over him, he said, be fruitful and multiply and have what? Dominion over the earth. That frightens the devil. Hey, man came to be fruitful. That is talking about population. It's talking about multitude. And then to have dominion over the earth. Don't forget, it used to be. Alright? The earth used to be his dominion. His place of abode. And from here, he leads worship to heaven. And now, man is taking over. Is to have dominion. That frightens him. And from day one, he started fighting against multiplication. So he raised the first. He said, okay, if I cannot win this battle directly by facing them, I can do it subtly. So let's do something. And he connived. He worked in the heart of Cain to kill the first man, Abel, so that there will not be that multiplication. And then go into the history. You see how in Pharaoh, in Herod, and all, you know, just to kill and stop the growth. And what is happening today in the world? They say the population, we're having too much population. They are working to cut down population. Something is happening through abortion, right? Okay? And not only that, there is aggressive plan to make sure that the population is reduced. As if our God is not enough to feed them. If we allow him. Because God who created man, who gave that blessing, and he had the idea of multiplication, having dominion, he has the answer. But the devil will always rebel against every ordinance, every command that God has given. Because he's an adversary. And is rebellious. So the crowd in Burundi is threatening the devil. Saying, crowd, coming to the Lord. Wow! He doesn't want to see that. And as the Lord was ministering to me, you see why the devil will fight tooth and nail. So that man will not have dominion here and also dominion at last. It's working toward the soul of man, never to grasp that which God has given. And the Lord has given us authority to resist his work. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning is just to remind us, and then we're going to link it up with what the Lord is doing in Burundi. We just thank God for that which the Lord is doing in Burundi. I want us to read two passages. With a short time. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. And then Mark 16, 18 to 20. It's to remind us of what the Lord has given us as an assignment. God is interested in multiplication, population, increase, and he wants to see not just few number of people in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen, amen and amen. Luke chapter 14. Are we there? From verse 16. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be what? Filled or full. So I said to you that all, that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that is the first scripture. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Verse 18 to 20. And they will take up serpents. Okay, let's read from verse 16. And he said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. In my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Take note, verse 20. And they went out. And they went out. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your signs and wonders in Burundi. As this church, the body of Christ here, agree together with the body of Christ in Burundi, Lord, we are asking for signs and wonders. We are asking that you break through and break forth. We are asking that serpents and scorpions, they will lose, oh God, their poisons. They will lose their strength. They will lose, oh God, their dominion. Serpents and scorpions stands for demons and powers of darkness. They will lose their position. Lord, in Burundi, as you reign, and as the word is being preached, thank you for salvation. Thank you for, Lord, continuous visitation. Even after the crusade is over, Lord, there shall be reports of great move of God, revival in that land. As you keep ministering and you are showing it, that is a spillover to the neighboring cities and towns and states. Thank you, Father, by your Spirit, you bring this to pass. Thank you, Ancient of Days. In Jesus' name, amen. Bidding the Master's command. Bidding the Master's command. We have to remind ourselves, that is why we went to Burundi. Amen. And God is interested, like I said earlier on, God is interested in populating not just the earth, It is in his DNA. God's DNA is to populate heaven as well. He had that in his DNA. So when he created man, he said, look, your business here is have dominion. Rule over, be in charge. And control all that have been given to you. Be in charge of everything, the birds in the air, the creeping things on the ground, everything under the earth. And where was the devil? Because he was cast from heaven to where? So man was to rule over the devil. Hello, somebody? We are to take authority over him. That was the position originally given to Adam. But he lost the key. Because the devil came subtly. And what is it that the devil is still fighting? Truth and name today is fighting over that which has been given. The key to dominate, to be in charge, first of all, of yourself. To be in control so that nothing controls you except the Lord. For you to be able to say no to whatever I want to say no to. For you to be able to say yes to whatever you want to say yes to. You must be in charge, not the devil. Hello, somebody. Amen. The devil is fighting tooth and nail on that. So many people today, they are off the rail. The devil has captured so many souls. So many people are under hunger. So many people are, in addiction, all kinds of addiction. They're out of their mind. They're out of, control, because the devil just wants to see them disarrayed. And once man loses it, that is it. It cannot have dominion. It cannot rule. And then he fights against multiplication. He fights against. So how come, homosexualism? How come gay? Now say man should have to marry man. That is against God's original plan of multiplication. A man with another man cannot produce. But they give you the force. The lies from the pit of hell today that, you see a man, they said he's pregnant. I think I heard it the other time, that a man was pregnant. That is lie from the pit of hell. God, when he created man, he didn't give man womb. God created another man that he took out of man, and God called him Isha. That is a man, but a man with a womb. And this man who is having a womb is called woman, to carry children. So that there will be multiplication. That is God's idea. But the devil is fighting against whatever God is saying, whatever order, whatever command. So he's bringing his own idea. Now, okay, there can be marriages, women to women, men to men. With that, there can never be any multiplication, talk less of subduing the entire earth. And you, of course, that the first word in Genesis, when the then word, they said, we are not going to spread and subdue the earth. We just want to remain one place. So they start to make their own kingdom, Babel. And God came down, the story very well. God came down and destabilized them. Because God is not interested in all those kind of man-made kingdom, satanic-made kingdom. It's the idea from the pit of hell. Anything God has given, the devil wants to go against it. Because he's a rebellious person. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen. We thank God that. So in this story, Luke chapter 14, the convener here, just look at it. It's a parable. Jesus gave that parable, right? The convener is God. He's giving idea of, what God is saying. God is throwing a banquet. And God is inviting as many as possible to be part of that banquet. He wants, if possible, the entire world to be part of that banquet. But as many as were invited, especially the first group of people, they were the influential, they were the businessmen and women, they were the social people, they were people, that carries weight. So when the servant came,
to them, the first person said, well, you know what, I think I have a business proposal, and I won't be able to attend. The other one said, I have, there are some board meeting that I have to attend. I can't do it. The other one was talking about his agricultural, exploits. I've just bought a great land, and I have to make sure that everything is in order. Sorry, I can't come for now. And then the third one said, you know what? I've just married. It's time. And the Lord says, when you are married, the whole 1 year, stay at home. Don't go to war. So, no room for banquet. It's just a parable to let you know the mind of God. And so, what did he say? He told the servant, now go out there, go to the street, the edges, forget about these ones, and then bid as many as you can see. So the convener is God, and he's still bidding people. He's still asking people in Burundi. You know why? Just see the crowd. In America, if you like, make all the adverts, do everything. If you don't give them what they want to hear, you will not see them. But over there, you can just take, it's local drum, beat it, just beat it. And with a megaphone, you'll see crowd coming. You'll see them because they are hoping, they are hungry. So, the developed countries, those who are well doing, the countries who are well doing, the rich, the powerful, they are saying, God, you know what? You have to fit in into my program, not me fitting into your program. So, God, I am sorry, I am so busy, I have a lot of things to do. So, America is saying the same thing. Many nations, they are saying the same thing. They are throwing Jesus out, they are throwing God out. And God is saying, you know what, servants, go where? Go to the third world. Go to places where people are hungry. Where people, they refer to them as a nobody. Go to the byways and the hedges. Bid them to come. The servant came the first time and said, oh, your will is done. We've done that. I said, try again. So that my house will be what? Filled or full. Let's take it one by one. So the covenant God is inviting today. Brethren, don't forget, is inviting today. The people you see, beginning from your family, the people you see around you, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So the invitation is there. Come, is the invitation. But how many? How many are yielding to that invitation? There are a lot of excuses. A lot of excuses. I have to do 1, 2, 3 jobs. God, you understand, I have to pay my bill. Yeah, it's true. But then God is saying, I need your soul. I need your soul. Hallelujah. Another thing I didn't mention in that Genesis, apart from, dominion, apart from multiplication, God is after the soul of man. The soul. The soul. Hallelujah. The soul is very important. Because when God created man, he did what? He breathed the breath of life into him. He became a living soul. It is that soul that connects with God, that connects either with God or with the devil. And so the devil is after that soul so that it will not connect with God. And that is what God is asking. God is patiently waiting. I pray that the Lord will bring America to the position of repentance and the developed countries, industrialized nations, the wealthy nations who think, well, God, you have to fit into our program, into our system. In fact, they have thrown God out from the school, from wherever you, any public place. God is not needed and is not invited and is not wanted. If we see him there, we kick him off. In fact, they are making rules and laws every day. Wherever God is still found, Jesus is still found, let's make law and make sure that we choke him out. The developed countries, those are the first group. They are saying, no, we are too busy. We have everything we need. Who is calling us to banquet? We have everything. We have enough. And the command, the second point, the command is to go, verse 23 of that Luke 14. The word go there is saying, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It's not saying, well, if you like, you can go. No. It's given an order to his servant, and we have to heed it. It's not an advice either. It's a command. And God is expecting us to obey. I want to thank God in this house. I want to thank God for what God is doing in Mount Zion, that we can leave some things, leave a lot of things, and go to Burundi. We are going again to Ivory Coast very soon. That is at the international level. But at the national level, we are also doing the same thing, but we are not done enough. And locally, God is expecting us to do more. And then personally, God expects you to play your role. I want to thank God for those 5 groups, that every week there's a group going out to witness. Yesterday, a group went out to witness. God is saying, Jesus is saying, go to the highway and to the hedges. Invite them to come. Why? Because the Creator, God, the Convener, is bringing them, is inviting them to be part of the last day supper that is going to take place. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. The sins of, one of the sins of the church in this end time, especially again in developed countries, and we find ourselves in it, is that we have about 99.9% of our activities within, in the sanctuary. Right? Thank God. But then, let's think very well. All right? Let's think about it very well. Our preaching, I'm doing one now. Our teaching, we do that on Wednesday. Our worship, we just done one. Our seminars, our vigils, the choir, deliverances, counseling, mention as many as possible, is within the sanctuary. And the master is saying, go out. Go out to the streets. Go out to the edges. We need to do some things outside the building. We are too concentrated in the building. Too many activities in the building. We are doing fine, but not enough. God wants us to increase our outside activities. God wants us to reach out there to those who are thirsty and hungry. Hallelujah. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. All right. In verse 23, it says, then the master said to the servant, now the servant is every one of us, go out into the highways and edges and compel them. That is compulsion, the urge, to urge them, to persuade them. Can somebody read it in another language? In either NLT or NIV. Can we read that verse 23? Do we have the same word, compel? Amplify, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Constrain them. Constrain them to do what? To come. So that my house might be filled. The master is interested in having the entire house filled up. But can he do it without any man? Can he do it, without crowd? Well, if it's a banquet, he cannot prepare the food and eat it by himself. Hallelujah. If it's a banquet, then there must be a celebration with others, as many as possible. God is interested. You see, God is God. He can, all that he needs to be God is within himself. All that he needs to demonstrate that he's God is within him. He doesn't need anything outside himself to be God. It doesn't need food. It doesn't need shelter. It doesn't need anything. And if he needs worship, of course, he needs worship. Angels are doing it. But he needs another version of worship. That is a kind of worship that angels cannot give, that only humans. Hallelujah. Those who have tasted, you know, the fall and they have been forgiven. There is a way they praise God. They praise God from an experience of one who has been redeemed. So they have a message of redemption, the message and worship that, you know, that comes from a heart of gratitude because we have been picked up from the miracle of sin. The kind of worship that comes from the fallen man who have been redeemed is quite different. So God needs that version. Hallelujah. He needs that version from man to worship him, to be part of his kingdom. Hallelujah. God can fill heaven alone with angels and he's satisfied. But he created man for a purpose. The Bible says he created man for his own pleasure. And it's a great privilege that man should partake of his glory, not only here, but also in his eternity with him. And so, that is his original plan. Man have to be part. We all have to be part. That will bring completeness. That will bring all that he had in mind. That at last, according to the book of Revelation, there will be, you know, great multitude from nations, from ethnic groups, from various people who will be singing on that day. Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation. Hallelujah. Let's see what the Bible says and what God is looking up to, what he's looking at. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, let us see. From verse 9 says, verse 8 says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open it, says, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every what? Tribe and tongue and people and nation. And have made us what? Kings and priests unto our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. We shall reign on the earth. That was God's original plan and is still his plan. That man will reign with God. Don't forget that in the new kingdom, distance is not going to be a problem. We will see heaven. We will see, you know, we are here on earth. Well, it's not going to be this earth. There's going to be a new earth. Hallelujah. That new earth, there's not going to be turbulence. There's not going to be sea. There's not going to be all this problem we are having. This earth is cursed. There's going to be a new earth that will come. And then we are going to be in that earth. And we are going to worship God from that place. And that new earth is going to be full of God's glory. And it's God's plan. And that is what will make him happy. That is what will fulfill all that he had in mind. That everyone, the redeemed, out of every tribe, tongue, people, nation, will worship him. Will worship him. And so, if that is going to happen, it means right here on earth, now, people have to be converted. People have to be brought into that kingdom. People have to be invited for that banquet. So, it's your duty, it's my duty. We are reminding ourselves. Hallelujah. We are reminding ourselves that we are the servants. And obedience is very important. We are to obey. Let's do some things outside the sanctuary. Hallelujah. And that's our, whatever it is, picnic or whatever we do outside, it should be evangelistic. We are not just doing it because we want to do cookout like others outside. Our cookout has a goal. We are catching fish. We want to catch fish. want to invite people, want to let them know there is this great God, the convener of a great banquet, a party that is coming. And we are inviting them to be part of it. And we have been privileged to be, you know, part of the people that have been invited. So you can join us. So let's do some things outside. Let's do some, whatever it is, whether sport, anything we do outside, you know, in Walmart, anything, whatever we do outside, let's carry our Jesus there. Let them know that there is a great King that is inviting. There is a great God who is the convener of the entire world and is inviting us to a great banquet that will take place anytime from now. Hallelujah. So the compulsion, we have seen the convener God, we have seen the command to go. The compulsion is there. That is, we need to urge, we need to persuade them. But then, let's see what it takes here. Ordinary persuasion will not work. I want to tell you, people will be full of excuses, just like those, you know, those rich people. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to do the work of persuading men. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You will be my witnesses, beginning from where you are." Right? You will be my witnesses. When the power comes and you open your mouth and you are a witness, you are, the Holy Spirit will back you up to do the work of inviting them. It will go beyond just you talking to somebody. It will be the Holy Spirit convicting that person. For Jesus said, when the Spirit is come, when the Holy Spirit is come, it will convince, it will convict men of righteousness, of judgment, of righteousness, of judgment, and of what? It will judge the world. Of righteousness. It will judge the word of the coming judgment. That is his own part. Our own part is to open our mouth. And we must be willing. But then the Holy Spirit will have to do the empowerment. The Holy Spirit have to do the work of drawing the heart. And by the time you finish your witnessing and you are praying for the person, you are gone. The Holy Spirit begins his work. The person cannot. But remember how you have spoken, how you have told the person. And you begin to remember. Those people begin to tell the person, you need to repent. You need to be born again. Remember what she told you. Remember what you were, you know, what she shared with you. The prompting will be done by the Holy Spirit. The invitation proper will be done by the Holy Spirit. But you have to play your role. Because the Holy Spirit needs a body that he can use as an extension of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to break the hardness of the people's hearts. People are so hardened. People are so, they are so busy. And out of their busyness, they crowd God out. They crowd anything that has to do with heaven. Look at how the world looks at today. You just go out there and shout, Jesus! See, people say, that man, that person is crazy. Because you are the odd man out or the odd woman out. Who is this person crying Jesus in the open? Because it's not expected. The world has been tuned upside down. That anything called Jesus, anything called God, holiness and purity, is never to be heard. Look at what is happening now. Just look at the agenda. We keep on hearing that. The agenda within the next 10 years, you will see what it's going to look like. What it's going to look like. Now, a nation as powerful as America is now convicting or trying to convince other nations to do what? To accept, you know, all this gay and whatever you call it. And they are using that as a bait. You want us to help you economically? You have some issues with you? We have the money. Just sign. You believe in what we believe. You promote what we promote. The world is sick. And America has, not only that, America has been corrupted, America has given itself to be used by the devil. God is no more having any influence. And we must not stop praying that God will have mercy on this land. God will have mercy. And a few remnants, I tell you, a time is coming. When they are going to turn the heat, wherever you are walking, they are going to turn the heat up. Huh? Maybe you have not been told that don't bring Bible to walk. Well, maybe you are singing before they allow it. As time goes on, they tell you, are you here to sing or you are to walk? Are you here to even your break that you use for to do evangelism or to talk to somebody? They will tell you it's now against the law. You cannot convert anybody. You cannot talk about any religious thing within the compound. You can do it outside. What they are saying is that the entire business is sold to the devil. The owner is the devil. So anything Christ, anything Jesus must not be heard within the compound. And if they catch you or you are seen, you are gone. That's where we are going. Now there are compelling people who want to become, well, don't let me talk too much about, because there are some things they tell you, you want to live here in America, you want to be part of people living in America, okay? If you don't do 1, 2, 3, 4, sorry, you cannot be a citizen here. So you have to think whether I want to be a citizen of heaven or a citizen of America. Impossible things. And when you tell them, okay, I am going to sign, you're going to sign for waiver and whatever, they still question it. America, the land of that fears God, that in God we trust. What went wrong? The devil is fighting for that dominion. What the devil did in the garden, say, okay, if I cannot directly kick them out, I can corrupt them and make them sin against their God so that God will hate them and kick them out. We've learned in this house in our Bible study, remember? We learned about Balaam and Balak and so on. All right? Balaam was employed by King Barak, to curse Israel. And God told Balaam, you dare not. Don't go with them. Don't curse them. Why? They are blessed. And then, okay, he told the emissaries, those who came on behalf of Balak, I cannot go. This is what God said. All right? After he has taken the money they brought, put it in his pocket. That had been worrying him. And then they left. They came back again with additional money and influence and pressure. And this time around, instead of reminding them, God has told me this, I cannot go and I will not curse them, he still went to God and said, God, well, here they are again. Well, what I'm trying to bring out there is this. Eventually, he did not curse Israel. He spoke only what God told him. But go and read the story and everything about Balaam and about Israel. Since Balaam could not curse Israel, the enemy, the devil, subtly brought sins within the land. Say, okay, if we cannot curse them, we know what will bring curse on them. Let's make them break the law. Let's make them hate God. Let's make them disobey God. So their God will reject them. In doing that, curse will automatically come upon them. And that was what happened. And that's what the devil is doing today. He's doing everything to corrupt humanity, corrupt the nations, corrupt families, corrupt individuals. Because in doing that, there will be a separation between man and God, between families and God, between a nation and God, between community and God. And he will be able to have dominion. And that's why the nations, the entire world, darkness has filled the land. Great darkness, gross darkness. Because it's working subtly in the heart of men to be rebellious against their God, to kick out the word of God from their heart. No time to read the word of God. We can spend 5 hours, you know, doing some other things on our social, whatever. 5 hours. It's not saying you're not a Christian, but, you know, let me take 5 hours out of the 24 hours, huh? And then you have 6 hours to sleep, okay? Hard it up. And then you have another 6 hours to work, okay? So how many hours is left? And even the few hours that is left, he's struggling with you not to have any time to even spend 30 minutes, 1 hour praying, 1 hour reading the Bible. Do that. 365 days times 5 years, times 10 years, the person will cease to be the person that fears God. The one that hears God. The one that obeys God. Because as soon as the word of God is eroded from the heart, the tendency to sweep to whatever suggestion the enemy is bringing is so easy. We are helpless without the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. So if we don't have time for Him, His word, prayer, the word of God, then we are saying, Lord, you know what? You are talking about banquets. I want to go, but the two people, the first three groups that were invited. Oh, yeah, but there are so many people who want to go to heaven. I want to come to church. I want to read the Bible. I want to pray, but we keep on doing but every day, 7 days a week, you know, 30 days in the month, and a whole year is gone. And then before you know it's happening, you are counting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years. Before you know it's happening, the heart becomes so lean. In the book of, I think it's Luke chapter 21, verse 19. Luke 21:19. Said, by your patience, possess your souls. Patience to study the world. Patience in the presence of God. Patience. Though there are a lot of things around you, you still create time. You might say, well, that is not, you know, it's not in sync with the entire thing there. You know, but he's talking about the signs of the times and the end of the age. That a lot of things will be happening. So many things. Believers will be persecuted. But he says, look, by your patience, possess your soul. Because the most important thing is not your body, it's your soul. If your soul is in alignment with God, it doesn't matter if you are going through pain in your body. Don't worry. It's a matter of time. The body may, you know, wear out. The body may, you know, you might get out of the body. I might get out of the body. If the soul is intact, then we'll be part of that banquet. We'll be part of that banquet. May the Lord help us. Not to be careless. Not to be careless. As we are going to pray, there are three things that we need to, if we are going to be involved as the servant that is sent, that servant that is sent is all of us. We've had it again and again, but there are these three areas. I want us to visit it and pray about it and think about it. All right? The servant literally, physically went out. He went out to invite the people. Today, Mount Zion and ASAPN, we are in Burundi. Right? Not all of us physically is there, but we have our representation. We are in Burundi. Some people God has used, 1, 2, 3, I don't know how many, to make sure that whatever the expenses is taken care of. Amen? Amen. All right. In one word, gospel costs money. Are you hearing me? Gospel costs money. So three things, and you must be one, you must be part of either one or two or both, or all the three if you can. Number one, you have to pray. You have to pray about going. God has opened this Burundi, but there are other places God is opening up. We are going to Ivory Coast very soon. Preparation is on. And God will also depend on vessels. Vessels to make sure that, okay, I know I can't go physically. I know I cannot, I may be praying, but I think areas I want to involve, apart from praying, is I want to give. I want to give. You can begin to do something about it and say, I'm giving toward missions. I'm giving toward our outreach in Ivory Coast. And any outreach, you're giving toward that mission. You might just start something small. All right? Maybe You are saying, okay, every month I want to give, you might say $25. And you want to be regular doing that every month. And by the time we are set to go March next year, something substantial has come in. We are not raising money. We don't believe in raising money. This must come from your heart. Hallelujah. So if you cannot pray, you can give. If you cannot give, then you must be ready to go. From here to Ivory Coast, I know by the time you pay like 1500, your plane ticket to and fro. Hallelujah. They will take care of the feeding and everything over there. Don't worry. But then you should be ready to to fly yourself there, down to Ivory Coast, and be part of, see what God is doing in Burundi. Be part of what God is doing this end time. One of the servants that is going to highway and hedges, bidding them to come in, because there's a great harvest, a great banquet coming up. So you can give. So, one, you can pray. Two, you can give. Or you can pray and give. Or you can go. Alright? If you cannot go, you can support those who want to go. That is by your giving. So we all can be involved in praying one way or the other. So that is the way we can be obedient. Obedient to the call. The servant obeyed his master. So to obey the master's command, we cannot just hear it and do nothing. We have heard it that the convener is saying there's going to be banquet. We must go. He has not told us, or he has not retrieved us from going. He has not said, you know, he's here to say come until he says come. All right? We keep on going on the local level, individually, collectively, and then nationally we go, internationally we go. We have to compel them. We have to persuade them. We have to urge them. And we have to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. Because I tell you, people, even sinners, I tell you, people who are poor can be as heady as anything too without the Holy Spirit. Because we are humanly, the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Eh? And full of all deceit. You say, who can know it? Say, I, the Lord, search the heart. So it's not a matter of class. It's just a matter of our humanity. We have the way we are created, the fallen nature. You know, we are full of excuses. You know, we trick, we do all kinds of things. So we need the Holy Spirit, who is the master. He knows the intent of the heart of everyone. And he will, you know, begin to walk in their heart. Hallelujah. I want us to get, let's stand place on our feet. Hallelujah. 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 Let us pray. Let us sing that song. I surrender all. I surrender all to you. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. After that, we are going to pray. First of all, we are going to ask the Lord to help us, the messengers, the servant that he's sending, to heed the command that every day when we wake up, when we wake up and we are going out there, he's saying, go. We are going for him every day. Whether you are going to Walmart or you are going to wherever you are going, is you are going for him. So that day, make sure in all that you do, whether the shopping, whether they're doing your work, the normal, you know, 6 hours or 8 hours duty, you are going for him. Make sure you also be the command and text somebody. It could be that tract. It could be that card. It could be that Jesus loves you. It could be, can I pray with you? It could be, is there any need? We are reminding ourselves. We have heard this again and again. The master is saying, look, there is still room. The servant came back, told the master, I have done everything, but there is still room. Even if we do it every day, thousands of people doing, there is still room. Jesus said to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come back and take you to myself. For in my father's house, there are many what? Mansions. So if the 8 billion people in the world today will repent, there are, you know, enough room for everybody. But alas, not all of them will believe. Not all of them. So as you go every day, remind yourself, I am representing heaven. There is an urgent message by the convener God, that the people I see every day, these ones are to be invited for that banquet. They may reject, don't be afraid. They will accept, don't be afraid. They may tell you, get out. But you have committed your journey before the Lord. The Holy Spirit will take it over from where you stop. We make them to have sleepless nights sometimes. Or it's when they now have problem, they remember, oh, what that woman said. Oh, what that sister said. They will not remember. Some of them, they can just be bold, reject the message right there. But down within them, because the enemy is deceiving them, they need it. But they don't know how to tell you, pray for me. All right? Or sometimes they will say no. But then later on, the Holy Spirit will work in their heart. So we are going to pray that God will help us to be obedient. And God will give us the courage and the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it in ourselves. We are not going to present our own message. It's His message that Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter what you are going through. He cares for you. We are not going there to tell them you are sinners. You are going to hell. We are not judges. We are not a judge. God, let's allow God to handle that. But let's tell them about the love of God. He cares for them. Hallelujah. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all unto thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender, I surrender whole. I surrender, I surrender whole. I surrender whole unto thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Oh, pray and ask the Lord, help me, O God, help me, Holy Spirit, help me to be obedient, help me to yield, help me to be reminded. Remind me every day, every time, and when I'm going for you. Help me, O God, that Lord is not just, O God, it's not just incidental. It's not by accident that I come in contact with people. It's just natural. I have to see people every day. They will see me every day. Lord, it's an opportunity. Lord, when I go, Father, to see these ones that have to be invited. Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, help my weakness. Help me where we are afraid, where we are timid, where we wonder, what am I going to hear? Holy Spirit, help me. Help us. Help us. Help us to be bold. Help us, oh God. Thank you, Father. Glory, honor to your name. Help us to be bold. Help us, oh God, to be willing, to be a willing servant, willing servants, to be willing servants for you. And Lord, use our lips, use our testimony. Lord God Almighty, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus said, there is no way any man can go to a strong man's house and loot his goods, his property, without first of all binding the strong man. Then you'll be able to loot what he has. The devil holds all the unbelievers. You know, he holds them captive. Holds everything that concerns them. We don't want them to obey or hear or understand. Let us pray. Lord, break the strongholds of the enemy in the life of sinners. Lord, Father, Lord, cause their hardened heart to be softened by the Holy Spirit. Give them understanding like you did to us. Show them mercy like you showed us. Lord, I visit, oh God, today like never before. And also in Burundi, in everywhere that we are going to be going, in our at local level, in the family level, in the church level, and the national. Let us pray. Lord, go before me. Go before us. Soften the heart of unbelievers. Lord, make them to understand the truth. Father, Lord, Jehovah God, break every unbelief. Every unbelief, every stronghold of the enemy over their heart, Lord, get it broken in the name of Jesus. Help them, oh God, to hear and to understand the truth. Thank you, Father. Glory, honor to your name, oh God. Mighty Father, thank you. Oh, Shaka Bareko Bosaliatara, Barakadaba Bunde Kirikiti, Mandekiti Baba, Kataya Kareba Satababo Siete, Le Baba Baba Baba. Thank you, Father. Kekoturu Baba Baba. Thank you, King of Kings. Lindo Yaba. Let us pray for those who are full of excuses. like those three group of people, those who are full of excuses because of their maybe class, maybe business, maybe their riches, maybe their position, maybe their influence, whatever it is that makes them to keep God out of their life, out of their busy life, out of everything that they have. Let us ask God, have mercy. Lord, draw them again. Lord, you are God of second chance. Have mercy. Have mercy on America. Have mercy on industrialized countries. Lord, as many nations, you said any nation that forget God, Lord, you will turn their head into hell. Father, have mercy on America. Have mercy on the nations of the earth. Let us pray that as we are rounding up. Father, have mercy. Lord, every nation that has closed their door against you, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, O God, on America. Have mercy, O God, on the nations of the earth. Lord God of my North Korea, Jehovah God, Father Russia, Jehovah God, Syria, Lord Turkey, all the Lord, the Eastern countries, Jehovah God, the Middle East. Father, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Every nation that has shut your door, have mercy, O God, in those light nations like Germany and others. Father, have mercy. Let them receive you. We pray for Israel. Let them receive you. Let them accept you in the name of Jesus. Father, those who kicked you out, Father, may you walk in their heart. Let them, oh God, be repentant. Bring them, oh God. Father, give them remorse. Give them repentance. Thank you, Father. Let your word sink into our heart and make us the doers of your word. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.